Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
Are we live?
Hello.
I remembered something today, guys.
Oh, God, what did you remember?
I'm afraid.
I brought my big old pussy. Oh, God. It's so big, and I love it.
That is huge.
That is so cool.
It even has veins. I love it. It's a big old piece of fluorite. If you look it up to the light, you see like purple veins running through the green.
I was going to say, is it purple?
Yeah, it's got little purple bits in it. If you want to pass it around, it's got a nice girth.
Do you rub it before you jump on Grindr?
Yeah, please bring me one bigger than this tonight. I'd say it's a good, I call that boyfriend dick.
Mm.
One you can handle.
That is a very nice sized one.
When I bought it, there was a sheriff officer standing right there.
It's yours today.
Your emotional support penis. Oh. Just don't sit on it.
Don't
get lost. The willop and wallop strikes again.
I'll set it right here on my table.
There you go.
That's a good paperweight.
It is pretty heavy.
Look how pretty.
I saw it and I just had to have it.
I mean, I don't blame you. I would have had to have it too.
The guy I bought it off was cute. He was like
that's the real reason you wanted it. Just like so you could talk to a cute guy.
Oh, he's like in his 40s, like graying hippie type of man. And boy, it took everything I had in me not to go, is this modeled off the artist? But it was originally wrapped in like the rope tying kink, where they like, you know, women, they'll like tie ropes around your breasts and whatnot, and men, they'll like tie up their penis. So it had like almost a macrame type stuff wrapped around it, but I took it off. I was like, I don't need that.
That is weird. Okay. Yeah,
that's not I just want the penis. I don't need all the extra.
Did you ask if that was the biggest size they have?
Oh, I mean, he had everything out on the table. He had it just hanging out there. There were two that size, but the other one had sold by the time I went back. So I was like, I walked up and I was like, where's the one? I was like, oh, no, it was a obsidian. So it was a big black one.
Oh.
Which I wanted. But I took that one instead because that was all that was left. But I'm happy with it. It's my favorite crystal now. And one of my biggest. I love that it has veins. I'm like, someone put care and effort into the details of this. They're like, we could just make it a tube.
You know? Right.
Mm-hmm. Nothing fancy. They're like, no, it's going to have a head. It's going to have veins and testicles. And bless them. Bless them for that.
I think a man made it.
No doubt.
Women were like, we don't need that. But men are like, we should make that.
Why could I see the artist who did do it standing there naked so that he can look down to make sure that he's doing it right?
Well, I want one of those paintings.
Added a couple inches.
There are some male artists who paint using their member as their paintbrush. And I'm like, I want some of those paintings in my house.
That's definitely a gay person thing.
I swear on my eye, knows this shit.
Seems so weird.
I'm gay.
You're what?
Of course, you think, knowing me, that there's going to be an artist out there that uses his big old penis to paint, that I'm not going to look up how does he do this? He just dips it in there and smears it. Even like, he'll use his ass cheeks. And
would you have something like that in your house, Kim?
You'd never know by the paintings. If you just saw it, you'd be like, that's a really lovely painting.
Yes, I would. Just
a pube?
Just for the fact, I would, just for the fact that if somebody would come into my house and say, that is a really cool painting, where did you get that? I could just giggle.
It's a pecker painting.
I could tell them, giggle. It's edible. Give it a lick. That's my pecker painting.
It would definitely be a good inside joke.
Just know, if y'all ever get a painting from me for as a gift.
Where do they sell stuff like that? Do they have like their own website, or do they do it on Etsy? Or
probably Etsy, but he had like his own website. Next time I come across it, he's a good looking man. That's all. I was like,
send it my will.
I want to watch him paint.
I might even search for that. After
You got any small ones?
You're gonna have some weird ads on Facebook pop up after that search. Why don't you have Willipus paint us some pictures, Ken?
Do a nice potato print.
Yeah.
I used to have
Willipus paintings.
I used to have one of a penguin that they put paint on a penguin's feet and let them walk across.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've seen female artists who will smear on some paint on their whisker biscuit and stamp it on a rock or something.
You know what? I take it back.
That's not real.
There is all kinds of art out there, guys.
I take it back. I did not get the one from the penguin because it was super expensive. But I bought a t-shirt that looks like that, that they reproduced. It had a penguin on it, and it looked like he had walked across it.
We have different shirts.
I mean, not the shirt that I have on. And I don't even have that shirt
anymore.
That's
a pretty shirt, Kim. That's a nice shirt.
This is one of my favorites right now.
It's flowery. It has some flowers on it.
It looks like it's old as shit, but
it matches. Mine is it matches the user.
I thrifted this at a vintage shop and cut the sleeves off.
And this is an old shirt that I'm wearing. Well, look, we're not showing up to please anybody. This is a really old shirt that I'm wearing too.
I almost didn't wear it because I was like, no, I always, try to dress nice. And I was like, I bet Shannon Kim's just going to wear an old shirt. So I'm just going to wear one too.
Well, if you're listening and you're thinking, I bet Shane's wearing an old gray shirt, you'd be right. You'd be right.
Because that's
he's wearing an old gray shirt.
That's half of your wardrobe, isn't it?
Gray
old
black.
Gray shirts.
Mm-hmm. Gray or black.
Yeah, I have a lot of gray and black too.
I could take my shirt off, but I don't want to bust my abs out.
Oh my God. You know what we should do sometime just as a joke to the people that actually watch us?
What?
We should walk in and record all dressed up.
Oh,
like me every other week?
You're a gay man.
I'm like, I'm sitting here in full makeup, and usually
that's true.
I have dressed up before, and it's miserable.
I mean, I completely agree with you. I'd lots really have my t-shirts and jeans.
I have errands after we record. I like to look nice when I go. That's one of the things that helps alleviate my anxiety is to look very nice when I have to go grocery shopping.
Interesting.
Just something about look good, feel good, I guess, that mentality. That, grandma and our father carried a comb in his back pocket. Like, it'll be a rare time, maybe a windy day, that's it, that you will see me with my hair unkept.
Well, that was, he was a big Elvis fan, and that was that generation. Yeah. So.
I mean, look at my hair. It's kind of, yeah. I'm like, damn it. Well, and grandma, she wouldn't leave the house with, her hair done and at least her eyebrows on. Occasionally, she'd get so antsy to leave the house, she'd forget to take her slippers off. We'd be up at the dollar store. She'd be like, shit, fire, I left my damn slippers on.
She would, too.
But it would usually work out. She'd be like, well, that reminds me, while I'm here, I need a new pair because these I keep wearing out of the house.
You'd see her toes sticking out.
When I first started working at the place, Hell, before Shane, did we have to dress up when you started working there?
Yeah, because I think you could pay Look, if you know a place is hell when they make you pay on a Friday to wear jeans.
Well, the reason they done how, that, that was for charity. Well,
that's some bullshit.
What? That's actually, bullshit. We had Amber's scholarship. It was part of that.
Still some bullshit. Anyway, they should have made us pay to wear jeans.
When we first when I first started working there, you had to dress up. It was business casual. And that lasted for a few years. And then they went to, you could either wear a hell shirt, a company logoed shirt, or you had to dress business.
Do you still casual. Have all your company your logo shirts? Shirts?
Yes.
Goodwill.
No, not all of them. No, I don't have them. All of them. I have the ones that I bought big just because I like to sleep in them. Mm. They're comfortable to sleep in. And a lot of times I'll wear them.
Those in a G-string. That's all.
And a lot of times I'll wear them over a bathing suit.
Oh, yeah.
So, but yeah. I mean, a lot of them, my God, I worked there for 15 years. So a lot of them weren't worth keeping.
Now, how long, how many years? So you worked there for 15
Almost,
years. Now,
yeah.
How many years did you work there? Did they treat you like you were a valuable employee?
Zero.
All right. Well, about Hang a on, couple let me, weeks.
Let me think. Hang on. This might take a while.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't remember a time when that happened.
That place, I'd never heard of a business that treated its employees more disposable than that place you guys worked at. It was,
yeah,
it was like,
exactly how it was.
You just, oh, so-and-so got fired today.
Mm-hmm.
Just out of the blue, no reason. Yeah. They just walked him out and came and packed his desk up and brought it out to him. I'm like, what?
And what's funny is that's how they treat customers too.
Yeah.
So they treat customers the same way they treated employees.
Yep, they always, we're so family-oriented.
Bullshit. I'm like, what family?
Those are always, bullshit. Those are what red family? Flags. When you go to a job interview and they're like, here, we're like a family. I'm like, bullshit. That means you're going to treat me like shit and think a little pizza party's going to make up for it.
And I can name about 5 different cases off the top of my head where families butchered every single person in their family. And that's exactly what it makes me think about.
Family, this is more like a plenty of fish hookup.
No kidding.
There wasn't, when I first started working there, you know, we had like a week vacation or 2 weeks vacation. I don't remember exactly how much. Anyway, it was probably either the first or second year that I worked there. It had to have been the first year that I worked there. It was Emily. She ended up in the hospital with rotavirus. Well, I didn't have any vacation time. And I called off a couple days because my kid was in the hospital. I was not leaving my kid.
Right.
And I had no choice but to make that decision of putting food on the table or leaving my child at the hospital with somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to go to work and my aunt come and sit with my child at the hospital so that I could feed my children.
God, when I worked at the nursing home, there's somebody's was going through a horrible family crisis, like with cancer, I believe it was. And he had used up all of his vacation day, and he had worked there for decades. He was one of the old handymen that worked there. Like,
I bet I know
there longer than anybody.
Because I used to work at that same one.
And he used up all his vacation fighting cancer and didn't have any left and was physically not able to return to work. And they literally put up a sign near the clocking thing. Are you willing to donate your vacation to him? And I'm like, what kind of world are we living in?
I'm surprised that they let people even do that.
Yeah. I gave him like 2 days of mine because, I never.
Because there was people that I was working with that are like, I don't use mine. Why don't you? They wouldn't let me use somebody else's PTO.
I think it was because it was such a dire emergency. And
maybe
like it really made me lose faith in the company I was working for. I'm like, what kind of world where a man can't even, fight cancer and still keep his job or a business instead of saying like, oh no, we'll just give you that.
Right.
No, let's make our other hardworking employees donate their hardworking PTO. Right. Like horrible.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah. The funny part of it is my supervisor at the time had been a very long-standing friend. We went to school together. She was in my class. And I should have been on a final written notice for attendance because I had missed for being going to the hospital. She forgot to turn it in.
Oh, bless her heart.
Oh, no. Isn't that sad? I asked her one day, I said, are you ever going to give me my paperwork? Because I knew that I should be signing paperwork for it. And she's like, what are you talking about? I said, for all the time that I missed when Emily was in the hospital. She's like, dang, I think I must have forgot to file those.
Oh,
and I'm like, oh, dang, I'm so sorry.
Oh, boy.
I'll sit over here and shut up now.
I was going to go sit over here.
Remind me to buy you lunch.
Yeah, so, but nobody ever knew it.
That's the type of friend I am. If I get a random text from a friend that's like, hey, I put you down as a reference for a job, you know, that's all you got to say.
Mm-hmm.
I will turn my phone's, you know, on to where I hear the ring and I will. She was the best employee. Went out of her way. I was sad to see her go.
Right.
Still, I wish every time I hire somebody, oh, they ain't as good as her. Like, I don't give a two rat's asses.
Right. They also did you dirty, Kim. After Amber died, they still made you work late shifts, even though you didn't have someone to watch Emily.
I mean,
that was crazy.
Technically, I did have somebody to watch Emily, but I also went for 2.5 months being told, don't worry about it. We have enough people that work nights. You'll be fine. Mm-hmm. Don't worry about it.
Always get it in writing.
And they waited until I got back to work 2.5 months later and told me the day before what that was my night shift.
Mm-hmm.
And oh, my God.
I was
a single mom. Who's one of her kids had died.
You got to get your ass.
Hey, your other surviving kid. Yeah, you can't be home with her in the evening.
I have no doubt in my mind that if that had been any other manager, I probably would have been fine. That manager did not like me at all. At all.
I'm sure he was getting the stank face from Kim every day.
I'll tell you what happened. I said, because I knew I had no choice but to go back to work.
Right.
I didn't have anybody to take care of me.
They were unapologetic with firing there.
Oh,
you look at them wrong.
Exactly.
Get out. Mm-hmm.
Yep. And I, for the first probably 5 or 6 months that I was back to work, I sat at my desk and cried every day.
Aww.
I don't know how I didn't get fired because I couldn't do nothing.
We don't care if you're happy as long as you're
No one else is happy.
Yeah, I mean, I was on FLMA, Family Medical Leave Act, because of it. And that's only lasts for 3 months. Well, I didn't want to use my full 3 months because I might have needed it again within the next year because you got that every year.
Right.
And so I went back 2 weeks early, and I shouldn't have been going back at all, but I had no choice.
I hate that when jobs want you to make your life surrounded by them, where I am very adamant about, no, I have this because I need it to survive in this consumer-driven country that we live in, but you are replaceable.
Right.
Like, if something important to my life comes up and it's between you, bye, catch you later.
Right.
I can always
get a new job. Well, that's how they'll treat you also.
Right. And that's why I'm like, why should I treat you any differently than you treat me?
Yeah.
I treat any job like it's a number.
Right.
Not this one, of course, because this is, you know, a fun passion of ours.
After that first year, I was lucky enough that my doctor did agree and I was able to put paperwork in that I could get intermittent FMLA. So if I got up and I was having a really bad day, I could call in and say, hey, I'm going to use FLMA. And they could not fire me over it as long as I stayed within that 3 month period, you know, that you're allowed to do that.
Right.
And so I did get lucky that way. And because in the department that we were in, the last two business days of the month were very long and grueling days. Second to the last day of the month was a 7 to 11 shift. And then the last day was a 7 to 6 shift. So we worked a lot of hours in those 2 days. Well, Amber passed away on the 28th. So it was the last day of the, or, you know, closer to the last day of the month. And if I hadn't had FLMA for the first five years after it happened, I would have been fired because I would have called in on the 28th.
Right. And that was a no-no.
Yeah. And you didn't do that.
It's all hands on deck.
And luckily, because you didn't even ask to take a day off when it was the last of the month, but because of my situation, they didn't really give me much guff about it. But if it hadn't been for, I could call in up to 3 days in a row. So that's how I did not get fired through the time that I was there.
This is where Europe has us beat, man. They're so good about not making work their entire identity. Like even, I believe it's France offers paternal leave when a new couple has, and it's, you know, it's several weeks, if not months of time off. Yeah,
they have finally gotten to where in the U.S. you can take a paternal leave, and it's for men, for babies. And
right.
I think it's according to companies. Mm-hmm. I think it has to be the company's
really?
Choice.
Really? I thought it was something across the board now, but I didn't think it mattered.
I think companies have to offer it.
Oh, okay.
Hell, there are even some countries that give paternal leave when a person gets a new puppy.
Oh, wow.
They're allowed to take time off to help get that puppy acclimated to their new life. I'm like, that's, you know, I think that's overkill to my personally, but that's nice that it's offered because, you know, puppies just like having a baby sometimes. It's a lot of work.
Yeah, it is a lot of work. I think puppies worse than a baby.
Yeah.
I got a few puppies.
I keep thinking my dog's about, she'll be 7 this year, and I'm like, oh, I want a puppy.
Oh,
but I'm like, I'm not going to get one because I'm like, no, that's a lot of work. It took me a lot of work to get her these 7 years. Now she's a perfect dog for me. I'm like, I don't want to start all over.
Yeah.
Maybe when she's real old.
He'll be 6 this year. Yeah, 6 this year. And every once in a while, I'll think, do I want to get another one after he's gone? And because I didn't want to have any more after my 2 Shih Tzus passed away. I was like, nope, not going to do it. And then I find myself sitting at home and thinking, if I don't get another dog and has to at least have to get up to take it outside, I'm going to sit here the whole time.
Just take yourself outside and pee. Boom, so we're outside now.
Go lift my leg on the tree stump.
Yeah. Neighbors will think you've gone crazy. There she goes again.
I'll get one probably when Annie's around 10, you know, before she gets real old, because I want her to like help teach the new puppy. Like,
for sure.
This is what daddy likes. Don't, you know, don't follow behind his feet too much or bark a lot. He'll get mad.
That is true, though. They do learn from older ones.
Oh, yeah. Because even how to play.
Yeah. And Ziggy, he would never use puppy pads until Emily got their dog Boone. And when they would come down to visit, they had to bring Boone with them and they would put a puppy pad down for Boone. And Ziggy figured out, oh, that's what those are for.
Oh, I can pee
because
on that.
Because when he was littler, all he wanted to do was tear them up.
Right.
And then once Boone came along, it's like, oh, that's what those are for. So now he will use a puppy pad if I'm not at home and he needs to go.
Yeah, that's how we trained Annie. We had an older Chihuahua when we got her, and she just watched him like once, looked at him. Oh, that's where I pee. Okay. I don't like taking her outside to potty. She is completely potty trained to be an indoor dog, and I use those puppy pads, but I put them in the shower. I have like a walk-in shower that doesn't have a lip or nothing. I just put it in there. I change it once or twice a day, and they even have like the black ones from like Glad, the trash bag company. Oh. They are like carbon dioxide. You know,
I didn't know they had those.
Don't have odors and whatnot, but I like it because when I go, you know, to the bathroom, my little baby dog can come in there and potty with me. We'll sit there and we'll potty together and she'll watch me. And then when she's done, she'll lay on the rug in front of me like, are you done yet? Good God.
Oh my gosh.
Although, the male chihuahua we had when she was a puppy was a male, so he didn't like teach her how to clean herself very well. And as she was becoming a young lady, she didn't know that she was responsible for her hygiene back there. So she wouldn't clean herself up. So I was like, you know, I'm like Shane. I see a problem. I think of a solution. And I'm like, I don't want to have to, you know, get a wet wipe every day and wipe my crusty dog off.
That's what
I think this is genius. Well, it wasn't like that time of the, it was, you know, just muck and whatnot. I put peanut butter on it.
Oh my God.
I did, just a little. I took a little, you know, throwaway spoon. I put a little schmear of peanut butter on there and she went to town. And ever since then, she knows, like, oh
my God.
It worked like a charm. Eco friendly. Like, I was watching YouTube videos and they're like, oh, you can get a wet wipe and, you know, just wipe. I'm like, I don't want to touch it. Like, that's hers. I don't want to touch it.
I ain't touching that.
That's what Kim does with peanut butter when she gets to meet Moon on Plenty of Fish. Put a little peanut butter on it. You want to meet Willop?
She grabs her ankles and gets the Peter Pan peanut butter. She gets the chunky kind.
She does get the chunky kind. Get your little crumb.
Nasty.
Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50. In order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
Growing older has been less mysterious ever since I started using Hormone Harmony to help with the symptoms of menopause. Between the sleepless nights, random hot flashes, mild mood swings, it was making it really difficult to focus, rest, and enjoy myself. Hormone Harmony has helped make traveling around with two young men in a mystery machine a lot more bearable. Hormone Harmony is not just for those of us suffering from menopause. Women who have symptoms of hormonal imbalances can benefit from Hormone Harmony. It has helped guide me through the mystery of menopause into a more harmonious journey through a natural process in each woman's life. The company behind Hormone Harmony, Happy Mammoth, advocates for women and helps them regain control of their hormones. With over 17,000 reviews for Hormone Harmony and a bottle sold every 24 seconds, more women are feeling more like themselves now more than ever. Thank you, Hormone Harmony, for unmasking the monster behind my menopause. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code MYSTERY at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use code MYSTERY for 15% off today.
All right, Kim, what is your mystery today? I've been shaking at the boots waiting for you to tell it.
Yeah. She's still hooking.
She is.
Let her get that little butthole finished.
Yeah, I need to get this one done.
All right. Get that little butthole finished. Touch it up. Yeah, go nice ahead. Tight little...
Now watch. See?
Oh.
Push it. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. See? My finger's been in every single one of those little buttholes.
Oh. That's how you have to advertise that blanket.
I fingered them all.
Fingered every butthole by Kim.
So, the other day, couple episodes ago.
Mm-hmm.
Don't lose your damn needle.
No, yeah,
I got it stuck right here.
On Unmasked. We spent about 5 minutes on Unmasked trying to find her stinking needle. And it was in her bag.
I don't see. I made the loop really big. That way I don't
stretch
it
out.
So on the last episodes, you had talked about Netflix.
I did. Yes.
Netflix things. So over the weekend, I'm like, I need to watch Netflix. I need to watch documentaries. So we watched that one together and I watched a whole bunch of other ones. Well, there's one that I watched, and after I watched it, I was appalled and it just stuck with me and I just couldn't really shake it. So I thought it was kind of important to talk about.
You needed to shake it off?
Yeah, I couldn't shake it off. I couldn't shake it off at all.
Shake it more than three times you're playing with it.
That's what I've always heard. So the name of the documentary is called Victim/Suspect.
I've not seen it.
You need to watch it.
Okay.
Because it's, people don't, I mean, I know there's going to be mistakes and stuff, but it seems like it's becoming more common. So it's this reporter, her name's Rachel. She starts looking into a case of a girl named Emma that was sexually abused. She was raped. And then come to find out that they arrested her. So she wanted to find out what the heck was going on. So she was at a party and had gotten a little drunk and was with a couple guys at this party.
Been there.
Well, they decided they were going to go somewhere, and they put her in a car, and one of them stood outside the car while the other one raped her.
Jesus.
So she goes to the hospital to do a rape kit, and they call the police from the hospital. So these two cops come to the hospital to take her statement. They don't wait for her to get dressed or anything. They just, all she had on was one of those thin paper thingies, you know, around her.
So they don't allow her to get any dignity.
Correct. Yeah. So she had been raped and now she has no dignity in front of authority figures, right? And so she tells them what happened to her. And so they decide that they're going to investigate it, and they get to a point where supposedly they found a video for it. They call her in to talk to her about it, and they tell her, are you sure this is the way that this happened? Because we have a video showing that you had kissed this guy before your assault. And she's like, no, that never happened, you know. And she was adamant, you know, no, no. They interrogated her for over 2 hours and kept telling her it was consensual. It was consensual. Mm-mm. And she kept going, no, no. Well, after 2.5 hours.
I don't care if my tongue was down his throat 5 minutes before. If I say no, right, when it comes to intercourse,
right,
that's non-consensual. Right.
I think that was part of the problem, was she was drunk, so she doesn't remember a whole lot about it.
So the men who had sex with her
took advantage of her.
There was no consent to be had.
Right. So, of course, after a couple hours, they have her pretty much convinced that it didn't happen.
Thank God.
Because they tell her, we have this video. So what do? They charge her for false reporting.
This is just my opinion, but I don't think any male police detective or whatnot should be the one investigating female rape.
No.
Like, I feel like that should be like, and you know, this might sound sexist, but I feel like a woman should be responsible for when that happens to a woman, because they're going to handle it with more grace, more dignity, and they're not going to gaslight and victim blame like most rape victims get.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then that happens.
I think that's the same way with if you're dealing and investigating something like that, but also beyond that, if you're dealing with sensitive cases that deal with, for example, Black women.
Yeah.
You know, like, I think especially in cases like that, I think if they feel more comfortable with other Black women, they should have a Black woman in there to talk to them. Mm-hmm. Because if you have a very specific type of victim, I think that they're going to feel much more comfortable dealing with someone who can relate to them and how they feel.
As a woman in that situation, I wouldn't feel comfortable with a heterosexual man. Police detectives, they're usually very like masculine, brawny men. I wouldn't feel comfortable with
I mean, how they started the whole thing of, well, we saw you kissing. Okay. Yeah. Who cares? The moment that I said that I was raped, I don't care if I was kissing.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Yeah, that doesn't have anything to do with
anything. So basically, they flat out told her she was a liar and arrested her for false reporting.
Oh, my God.
But they never produced the video that supposedly they had. So this reporter was, you know, trying to figure everything out. Well, she gets a hold of a video that was taken at the party. So you see her at the party. She was talking to a guy. And the guy, she had stated that the guy that she was talking to in that was the guy that stood outside the car while the other one raped her. And in that video, she has on shorts and a shirt. And she has longer hair. And she had it up in braids. So this reporter ends up suing the department to get that evidence of the security camera footage that she wanted to see. So they went, they looked through all of that footage. They finally found what they were talking about. Girl and guy was walking down an alley. They stop, they kiss, and they continue. This girl, and it's the only one that they could have been talking about, she had a dress on.
So it wasn't her.
And had long hair down. It wasn't even her.
They just didn't want to deal with the paperwork.
No, they didn't.
Stupid boys. But isn't that just like men too, though? I just doesn't pay attention. This woman had short hair.
It's a woman.
Not wearing a dress. Oh, look, that must be her. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so this reporter wanted to figure out, you know, how common has this become? And she found another case about another girl named Megan, and she was extremely intoxicated also and had gotten raped. She spent several hours in the police station. All of these girls, they figured out over a 4-period span of them, you know, investigating this whole thing, they came up with like 200 cases of this happening. 200 cases. Wow.
My God.
One case is too many.
No kidding.
200 cases that they lied to them saying, oh, we have this evidence or this evidence. You know, that's not against the law. The cops can lie to you.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
I think that is complete bullshit.
Or was it?
Complete bullshit.
Michigan just passed a law making it now illegal for undercover cops to have sex with hookers and then arrest them afterwards. So up until this month in Michigan, policemen on the clock could go have sex with sex workers and then bust them for sex work.
That's crazy.
I want to know.
Once they took that payment and they, you know, were now being paid for sex workers, that's when they'd arrest them after they just was sleeping with them.
I want to know what makes it fair that they want you to tell the truth, but they can lie to you to try to get to the truth.
Anything to get. I mean, we learned that from the American
Horror Story. No, American Nightmare.
Yeah. Detective Mustard.
Mm-hmm.
So the girl, Megan, at the hospital, she even made a comment that he had held her down while he raped her.
Well, and another guy was looking out. That ain't...
This is a different one. Oh, okay. Yeah, this is a different one. And he had held her down. They even, instead of bringing the guy that she was accusing of doing it in for an interview, they had let him go on a fishing trip with his lawyer before they interviewed him.
What in the white privilege is this? What in the, oh my God.
My blood boiled through this whole thing. I just could not believe what I was watching.
Well, he had a bright future ahead of him. Mm-hmm. He didn't want to ruin his opportunities.
See, that's the problem.
It's her own fault.
Most of these guys in this investigation, most of them were people that their families were prominent in the communities. And
well, that's why they're doing they're it. The they ones, know that they're not going to get
there's, right. There's punished. Just like mm-hmm. now with freaking senators passing no abortion laws when their mistresses are getting one every mm-hmm. other fucking month, or their teenage daughters who have a bright future ahead of them.
Right.
Yeah.
It's horrible.
So, of course, they charge her also.
My God.
Megan's mom talks her into going to see a therapist, and she ended up having to drop out of college and move back home. And most of these cases happen to, like, college girls, these girls that don't really know, you know,
haven't lived long enough to be aware.
Right. And they can be easily swayed and taken advantage of, basically. So her mom did talk her into going to see a therapist. And Megan filled out her paperwork, but they found it next to her dead body after she committed suicide.
This is why women don't report stuff.
Exactly.
Because you get blamed and sometimes literally arrested for being a victim.
And the girl that I was talking about, the first, Emma, she, because of it being, you know, in the media, she would get death threats because people were saying that she was lying, that she was raped.
And these men that did that to them, they're probably living happy lives.
No
doubt. Married, cheating
no doubt.
On their wives with every other person.
Right.
So after they found Megan, they did look through her, the paperwork that she did fill out. And there's a question on there that asks, why are you seeking help for, you know, why are you seeking a therapist? And she put on there, I was raped. She put it on there that she was raped, and that's why she was. And they didn't believe her. Didn't believe her.
My God.
Now, both of those cases that I just talked to you about, those were actually done by the same department.
Oh, no. Shocked. I'm shocked.
Yeah. So the journalist, she wanted to know if it was a department issue or if it was more nationwide.
Well, the judge is probably golfing buddies with the boys' father.
Mm-hmm. No doubt. So they did come up with over 200 of these things happening throughout the whole country. And,
you know, people talk bad about, like, people who grew up in rough families and whatnot, but I would trust a poor person that grew up in the mafia than I would a rich white family.
Right.
Because that rich white family, you piss them off, mm-hmm. they can literally have you killed right. and get away with
yep,
it.
Yep, exactly.
Not a thing done to them.
All of these cases that she did look at, there was, at first they were talking about the over 150, but it ended up in the end, it was over 200. But all of them knew the person that had raped them, except for one. There was only one out of all of those cases that did not know her victim. And she said that she was driving down the road. It was just her in her car. She looked in her rearview mirror. There was red lights. Cop was pulling her over. And he goes up and says, do you know how fast you were going? And she's like, I couldn't have been over 40. He asks her to get out of the car where he sexually assaults her.
Oh my God.
Of course, she tells them at the police station, you know, all of this, that it was a cop that done it. Well, they immediately think of this guy's name that had in the past been picked up for impersonating a cop. They didn't even go talk to him about it. Didn't even go talk to him about it.
Well, that sounds like so-and-so, end of story.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. Of course, she gets arrested also for falsifying documents.
What garbage, people.
No kidding.
Where was this at?
I'm not sure where this one was at.
Write them a strongly worded
email.
I think the other ones might have been
you
in Texas.
Trash.
Maybe.
What a surprise.
Yeah.
Texas.
I mean, don't quote me on that because I'm not real sure that
Texas or Florida sounds like it.
Yeah. I'm not even sure that they even said in the documentary where they actually were at.
There was like no, everybody's going to be, people be showing up.
I felt so bad because they would show, you know, them being interrogated in the, you know, the little white room talking to, and they would say things like, I don't believe you. Are you sure that happened? You know, and just, it was like, they teach these cops how to interrogate people. You should not be interrogating a victim.
No. I know with your medical professional, as especially as a woman, like, you can request, I want a female caregiver. Like, if, you know, you're having surgery and a male nurse comes in, you can request. Mm-hmm. I mean, I had, maybe it happened twice at the nursing home where they're like, I'd be more comfortable if a female helped mm-hmm. me get dressed.
I know with women, when it comes to pelvic exams and that type of stuff, if it's a male doctor, they make a female nurse go in with them.
Do you know what I just learned recently? Speaking of pelvic exams.
Oh, no.
Atrocious. Atrocious. When you're having surgery, like, I mean, they can do it to anybody, but more predominantly women. Mm-hmm. While you're unconscious, they can strap you up mm-hmm. in stirrups and do a full pelvic exam, like have other students come in, like have a whole room full of people looking at your bits, you know, mm-hmm. poking and prodding, even like doing a full vaginal examination while you're out under having surgery.
Yeah.
They don't even have to tell you about it. Most women it happens to, they don't have no
really idea. Uh-huh. Because I thought they were supposed to at least inform you that that was going to happen and you had to agree to it.
No.
At least, they have me in the past.
And they told you?
Yeah.
Ain't this nuts?
Well, Emily was actually delivered by an intern, because when I went in to have her, the doctor that, his name was Dr. Dersh, he was getting ready to retire and there was interns and stuff. And he came in and he says, would you mind if the intern is the one that actually delivers? I will be right here in case something goes wrong or whatever. So I had to give them permission to let him do that. And there has been other times that, well, when I just had my hysterectomy not too long ago, when I went in for one of my exams, the girl that was in there asked if one of their students or an intern could come in and be in when I went through my exam. And I'm like, I don't care.
No, he's talking about if you're having just a random surgery.
Like you're under anesthesia and you're put out. I mean, it's
for like tonsils.
It's not just, I mean, anything. You're there. They have to, I mean, you learn better from a live person as a student, mm-hmm. medical student. So they're like, hey, while they're here, hey, students, come here. Look, we're going to real quick. I mean, even while they have you opened up, like they'll be like, hey, you guys, like, this is what all this looks like. And like, you don't have no permission. When I worked at the nursing home, there was a situation that came up that still sits uneasy with me. And my boss and the department I worked at, neither one of us were happy with the decision, but there was nothing we could do about it. But when someone has dementia, they are not able to give consent.
Right.
Clearly, they don't even know what freaking year it is most of the time. But if their family has power of attorney over them, they can give consent for that individual, even though that person is not even verbal, like mm-hmm. to the point to where they have no idea of person, place, or time mm-hmm. and can't even speak to give their wishes. And we had a situation where an ornery old man who was known to, you know, go room to room to women. Like we had to keep an eye on him because he'd sneak into women's rooms and diddle them. Well, he was doing that to that woman and her family consented. And she's almost to a vegetative state. And her family gave consent for this man to go in there
have
stuff with her. And we had to allow her family. It was her family gave permission. What? So it was consensual. And I'm like, and what? Like, I was like, I don't like this world.
No,
I was like, no.
That's weird.
even though her family consented, I still, if I saw him lingering mm-hmm. around her room, I'm like, oh, well, guess who's about ready to get a manicure that's going to last until he is put to bed.
Right.
I'd go wheel my cart down there with my nail polish. I'd give her a hand massage. Oh, look, your hair needs brushed too. Let's mm-hmm. let's just do a whole like uh-uh. No.
I am just in awe that a family would even do that.
Right. It was one of those families that didn't give two rats asses about their family member in a nursing home, you know, never came to visit. So, and I don't even think they generally liked her.
Care.
So with her daughter, like, oh, sure,
so
I don't care.
So sad.
Or like my boss even called her back or like, are you sure? Are you positive? Yeah, I don't care. I'm like, but no, like, we did everything in our power to not, like, they may have given consent for her, but this lady was an ex, like,
it's not right.
Preacher's, like, very conservative. Mm. And I, when they got to that point, I treated them still the same as if they were that person before mm-hmm. their memories left. And when a new resident came, I learned as much of their background as I could. Like, oh, this woman was a preacher's wife, or she never left the house without her nails done. I always tried to treat them exactly the same as if they had full capacity. And that just, sometimes it's one of those things that sticks with me when you're weird. Trying to fall asleep. You're like, I just can't believe that's the world we live in. Here, it's here in America, land of the free. Unless you have dementia and your family gives consent, when
I don't care.
Yeah,
that makes me ill.
I know. That makes
me so sick.
That can happen at any nursing home with dementia. Like, as if the family has power of attorney, and that's why I'm like, you be very careful who you give power of attorney over you.
Oh, I'm not going to give it to Shane.
Pull the plug.
Right.
She just has a sprained ankle.
I said pull it.
That's awful. So the girl that was stopped by the cop, they told her also that they had video. That was very normal for them to say that, oh, we have video of you. You know, what would you say if I had video of you doing this or, mm-hmm. you know, whatever. So the video that actually came out about this case was, it was a security camera on a house, and you could see a car go by, but it was dark. You couldn't see what kind of car it was. It might not have been at the same time.
Yeah, they're just lying.
Lying. I felt so sorry for this girl. She just cried and cried and cried. She was going to college for criminal justice. She wanted to be a cop. And then all of this happened. She changed her major. She didn't want nothing to do with it.
Right.
Sitting there in a freaking paper gown, just feeling dehumanized from what just happened to her, plus what she's wearing and being alone mm-hmm. and then hounded and accosted for 2 hours. Yep.
Half of these cases that they looked at, the suspect was not even interviewed. How can you rule somebody out if you don't even interview them?
Right.
But I mean,
I feel like they're just going to all of every rape thing as if it's all made up. And then they get shocked when there's proof that it wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
How disgusting.
Most of these police officers, I learned in this, have absolutely no training on handling sexual assaults. That floors me because mm-hmm. it should be trained.
It should be required.
It should be a requirement on knowing how to. One of the investigators, this poor girl had just been raped, and one of the investigators sat right in front of her in the interrogation room and kept putting his hand on her leg.
No.
Like, first of all, you
do not touch me.
You don't have to be sexually assaulted, but you don't. I mean, no one likes to be touched. No.
But I can't imagine what's going through her head thinking, my God, I was just raped, and now I'm getting touched by a cop.
Not even at Crime Con, when a few people would come up to hug me, I'm like, do I have your permission to hug you? Like, disgusting.
Well, and sexual assault is so common. Why would you not have police officers go through it?
They had interviewed one guy that has a lot to do with teaching cops how to deal with it. And he said that the reason that he does it is because his sister was assaulted twice. It's wonderful that he teaches them how to deal with that situation, but police officers have to request to have that training.
I feel like it should be a different department altogether.
Yes, it should be.
They are trained only to handle those types of situations. Because I'm sorry, some high school dropout named Bubba with a buzz cut and a mustache, you know, at his local police station,
right,
is not capable emotionally or any other way, shape, or form to handle that. Those are the ones who are usually buddies with the people who are the rapists. Oh, I ain't gonna turn in Tom.
Well, I'm also a firm believer that they should also have some type of person who has a therapist background.
Yes.
I mean, at the very least, they've gone through training on how to talk to people.
Yes.
Yeah. So, I mean, I understand that you need an investigator in the room, but also having someone who has a therapy background who can be there to ask those questions
in a tactful way and not just flat out accuse them of lying.
Yeah. So I think like, in those situations, that would be so much more helpful. Yeah. And when mental illness is such a big problem separately, like having someone who has a therapy background would be so much more helpful than when you have police officers who want to come in guns blazing.
Right. Right. And that helps me when I do talk to my therapist, because they have a sound understanding of how our brains work.
Right.
And to me, it can pull me right out of a deep spiral for just someone to tell me, you went through this and your brain is reacting in this way. And just for me to hear that, oh, this is a natural, logical thing my brain is doing to protect me.
See, that's what
helps me immensely.
When I lost Amber, I was a complete basket case until I started reading articles on other people that have lost children, and they talk about all of the same things that I felt.
Yeah.
So I felt like I was going crazy. Nobody had any idea what I was going through, you know? But then when I started reading all these articles on other families that lost it, I'm like, I'm normal.
Right.
I'm normal.
That's why I'm always just so vocal about everything, because a lot of people sit there and they feel like, oh, I'm alone or I'm going crazy. And no, this isn't, you know, this is something bad that's happened to you, but it's happened to other people and you will get through it.
Right. The guy that done the training was doing the training for it. He also talked about how many tend to just recant what they said, that they just decide that they're not going to do it anymore.
Because they get hopeless.
And well, not only that, but they talk them into it. Mm-hmm. He said, you know, I could talk any 18-year-old girl into recanting. Oh, I'm sorry this happened to you.
Do you really want to be drinking? Known as the girl that was raped?
No. Were you drinking? How old are you again? Oh, now that's underage drinking. I would hate to have to bring up charges on you. Oh, well, no, sorry. Nothing happened. It's fine.
Right.
How many kids do that just because they're threatening them because they were drinking underage instead of standing up for the victim and getting the bad guy?
I will say that there are some police forces that do have special sections in the police departments that deals specifically for sexual crimes.
That's the way it should be.
Yeah, but not enough. Yeah. And those are only in large
cities. Evidently not in that. Mm-hmm. But I know that like there was one that I knew someone that worked in the department that would deal with sexual assault. And this was a woman who did a lot of great work in her department. So I do know that there are specific sections in different police departments. But again, they have to prioritize that, and they have to get the funding from the county or the state they're in.
The one crime that literally happens in every city, town, every police department.
Well, it happens to almost every woman.
Right.
They gave these statistics at the end of this program, and I was completely dumbfounded. They said that close to 500,000 sexual assaults happen every year. 500,000. Only 30% of those are reported. And only 1% is prosecuted.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
1%.
I think that the girl who committed suicide, those police officers, should be charged.
They should be charged. Yes, they should. I completely agree with that.
At least homicide.
Yeah. I completely agree with that.
Yeah.
Aggravated homicide.
Mm-hmm. Right.
All right. Let's do our ruh-roh waggy.
Yes. Do our ruh-roh waggy.
We're going a little long on this one, but I think this topic was very
long in the tooth.
Huh?
Long in the tooth?
Yeah. Long in the tooth. I think this topic needed a nice long discussion. So
well, bless all those girls as well. Any woman, man. I mean, there's men that are sexually assaulted too, and mm-hmm. those are reported even less because
because
who's going to believe
what
that?
Man? Yeah, I mean, and I know somebody that's been that way, and he didn't want to report it
even, you know,
until they found out that there was others that that had happened to them also.
Well, even, you know, as those teenage boys that, you know, you've heard of have had sex with their grown adult teachers, they're, little boy, good job. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you lucky.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Disgusting.
No, it is right. Disgusting.
No, they were raped by an adult woman.
Right.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Rut-row raggy.
I need a drink real quick.
She thirsty.
We all heated in this one.
Yeah. My blood was boiling so much through that. It's ridiculous.
I'll never forget I learned what sexual assault was from the movie Showgirls. It's traumatized.
I don't even know that I've watched that.
I watched it once and it was unedited and it was uncensored.
It was unmasked.
All right. Here we go. Rut-row, Raggy. A Washington, D.C. thief made it too easy for police. Not only did he leave a fingerprint behind, he left his whole thumb. He had made off with cash he had stolen from a D.C. brothel.
Oh, my God.
I don't know what. I don't know if they still have those kind of things
I'm
sure they do.
Or what year this was supposed to have been. But
there's men in D.C. You know they're going to want politicians.
But he stole it from a brothel. But he left a key piece of evidence behind when a prostitute wrestled with him and the machete he was carrying sliced off his thumb.
My God.
The police caught up with him at the hospital.
That's so funny.
Bless his heart.
At least it was his thumb and not his tallywhacker.
No kidding.
Then you go rob a brothel. That is literally hard-earned money.
No kidding.
All right, everybody. Don't forget to follow us on all of our socials. You know, Shane and Josh's little rabbit hole. Play in the hole. Come visit us at our website. It's mystering.com, where you'll find all of our episodes, photos of us, all of our merch, you know, the t-shirts and the little dicks and all of that good fun
and
stuff.
And we're having our patrons give us their favorite sayings on Patreon. So we're going to make a new sticker out of that once they vote on their favorite saying.
Just let us know which one of my sayings you like best.
Isn't it stupid how many of your sayings they pick from?
It's like 90%, I think.
So many to choose from.
That's true. And don't forget, if you are not a Patreon, right now is the time to do it, because on August the 3rd at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, we're going to have a game night, and you might win a Mystery Ink themed crocheted blanket that yours truly worked her fingers to the bones.
You can
to
wind
make.
It. She said wind.
Wind.
You can wind
you
it.
You can wind it.
Straight from the barn dollar. Straight from
the
barn.
Come wind this blanket there,
dog. All right. All right. That's all I got.
All right. Well, we'll catch you on the next one.
Bye. Bye. Bye.